number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, glad you can be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue tonight with our preview of the Detroit Lions. Tomorrow will be the Baltimore Ravens in our countdown to kick off. We got the Atlanta Falcons to close out the week. And if you want to know who we're doing next week, you got to go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. Check us out there. All right. Today, I was telling you I was at the PGA Championship and practice rounds were going on. And I'm looking forward to seeing this. I think Baltistrol is a great course. It's the final major of the year. Then we get into the Olympics and golf and Ryder Cup and all of that. But the majors are going to be wrapping up at the end of the week. And at that night, I had got a chance to go to the Mercedes-Benz luxury golf cart unveil. And I was sitting at the dinner table. Great couple I was talking to. And we were talking about everything, soccer, just different kind of sports and whatnot. And he asked me, this guy next to me, Rich Stoner, who's real great name, by the way, asked me this question. And he said to me, who are my four teams that I think are going to be in the college football playoff? And, you know, I get these kind of questions all the time. Who do I think is going to win the Super Bowl? Who do I think is going to go to the World Series? And so, you know, I started thinking, all right, I didn't realize until I really started thinking about it, I didn't realize how complicated this question could actually be, given the status of what we have in college football right now. For example, I think Clemson is going to win the ACC. Is Florida State as good of a pick? Of course. Florida State could win the ACC. In the SEC, I don't see anybody in the East that can challenge anybody in the West, so I'm going to take everybody on the East off the board. In the West, I think there's a little bit of attrition with what's going on in Ole Miss. They still have Chad Kelly, who I think is one of the premier quarterbacks in the country, but I think I'm just going to go chalk and say Alabama. Now, that makes me cringe a little bit. Because I don't want to go with Alabama, to be honest with you. I kind of actively root against Alabama. Not that I don't mind dynasties, but yeah, I've had enough of Nick Saban in Alabama. So I'd like to see somebody else kind of rise up to the ranks. But when I look at LSU, I go, well. When I look at Ole Miss, I go, well. So I'm going to go Alabama. Now, the Big Ten, and we did the Big Ten preview earlier this week, and the division alone with Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State is almost too complex to predict. I think Michigan State is going to still be strong defensively, and they've got some questions of where personnel they're going to change. But I still think in the end, push comes to shove, they're going to give you a game. And there sits Ohio State, reloaded with Urban Meyer. And there sits the expectations of Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, who met them last, exceeded them last year, and now they'll have the burden of answering that call. So I started thinking about other teams, right? And I go to the Big 12. Okay, what's going on in the Big 12? And I think about, all right, well, we know Texas isn't going to be up to par yet, and we're still waiting on some other teams like Texas Tech to take the next step. Okay, well, what about TCU and Baylor? They used to be the prominent teams in the conference. What about them? Well, there's some subtraction at TCU, and there's a ton of subtraction at Baylor. So that leaves me Oklahoma. Well, I like Baker Mayfield. I like Samaje Perine. And Bob Stoops, you know, is Bob Stoops. But then I look at the Pac-12. And this is where the conversation gets a little interesting. So I said, and I made this statement at the table. Now, Adam, feel free to throw me a slap if you want. But at the table, I said to the guy sitting next to me, Rich, I said, I don't believe a Pac-12 team is going to make the playoff. I don't like a Pac-12 team to be good enough to make the playoff. I don't like USC. I don't like UCLA. I don't like Oregon. I don't think Chris Peterson and Washington are ready. I don't like any of the Arizona schools. Colorado is still no good. I'm waiting on Utah. And then he brings up Stanford. And he says, what about Stanford? I think Stanford is going to... And I stopped for a second and I immediately went to the... Well, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's good, but they're still reloading in a whole bunch of different areas, and I still am not sure what the quarterback position is going to look like now that Kevin Hogan is gone. But he was adamant that Stanford was going to be a playoff team. And so I totally respect that. Everybody's got their opinion, but I started going, you know, this is hard to do. In the NFL, we have the usual suspects, right? When we're predicting who's going to make the playoffs in the NFL and who's going to win the Super Bowl, yeah, we've got some default teams over the years that we've sort of relied on, right? There's the New England Patriots. They're any team Peyton Manning is on. There are the, you know, look at the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers usually make the playoffs a couple times. Well, you could count on Cincinnati when they were playing well with Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis, whatnot. There are tons of these staples that we kind of go to in the National Football League. In college football, we tend to do the same. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bored with that. I don't want to say Florida State, Alabama, Michigan, and Oklahoma. Is there any other spice? And this is not to knock any of those schools at all, because they are what they are. And when you're a power in college football, God bless you. If you're a legit power in college football, that you are a staple under the system that they still are under, which is, hey, you can lose one, but you better not lose two, because if you lose two, we're really, really, really going to scrutinize that. And if you're a school that has managed to navigate that minefield to a point, if you can navigate that minefield successfully, like Nick Saban in Alabama has had in the SEC, if you could navigate that, then hats off to you. If I'm continuing to say, well, I don't know in the SEC, I guess I'll just go with Alabama. Yeah, the ACC, there are some fun teams in the ACC to watch out for. North Carolina can score. They'll give up points, but they'll score. But it's Florida State and Clemson. I'm really curious about Mark Richt in Miami. I'm not a Mark Richt hater. I'm not a guy, you know, I know Athens had a whole bunch of problems with them and failing to win those big games and failing to get that team up to their potential. But I'm interested in what Mark Richt does in Miami. Not maybe in year one, maybe year two or three. Right now it's Clemson and Florida State. Take one of those. All right. Now, I know Clemson is sort of a new national power now, but Florida State, okay. We've been talking about Florida State being a national power since I was in high school, for crying out loud. When they were doing wide right and all that stuff in Miami, and Scott Bentley was kicking field goals for them, and all of that. Steve Spurrier was making fun of them, calling them Free Shoes University. I've been talking about Florida State for 20-plus years. Oklahoma, the same thing. Alabama, not so much, because there was those dark Mike Shula years. But, man, I'm looking for something new. I'm looking for something interesting. Yeah, I don't know if it's Stanford.
The entire time you've been talking, I've been trying to rack my brain of just a team that I think could kind of come out of nowhere and compete, and I can't come up with it. I could give you, and you've kind of mentioned them all. I could give you eight or nine teams, and I guarantee you the four teams come from that.
I can too. Can I buy Iowa? CJ Beathard is one of the better quarterbacks in the conference, right?
They'll be there, but I don't know that they're on that level with Michigan State, and Ohio State.
If I was Vegas, those odds of Iowa making it to the playoff would be high, and they've got talent. Now, and Kirk Ferentz is a good coach, but they would be high.
Yeah, what helps Iowa is the West is not very good.
Yeah, there's not going to be a beat-up factor in the West,
So the chances of them going to the Big Ten title game with, and I would have to look at their schedule, so I don't know, you know, who they play from the East, but if they can get to the Big Ten title game and only have one loss, then yeah, they have a shot, because who knows what happens in a game. I mean, look at Michigan State last year. You never know how a game ends.
There is some here, and here's the other issue too, that you bring that up. Watch out for Tennessee, because Tennessee is playing in a weak division. Yeah, I don't care how anybody shakes up the East. Georgia under a new head coach, okay, wake me up when they fulfill that potential. South Carolina's garbage. I think Florida still is looking for an offense. I think Jim McElwain will get it eventually, but there seems to be a lot of question marks in Florida. Missouri, yikes. Vanderbilt, yikes. Ooh. Kentucky, yikes. Ooh. Right? I mean, this is division Tennessee should roll over.
Yes.
Roll over.
Now, do they play Alabama early? I would have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure they play Alabama early.
Like, when you say early, are we talking like September early?
Yeah.
If that's the case, they might be able to overcome
that's exactly what I was just thinking. Like, if they
last year, they played him in October, because I remember I was on my daughter's soccer tournament in October, and we watched it in the bar. Everybody watched it in the Memphis bar. We were all, Rocky Top, blah, blah, blah. That's all we did, sitting at the soccer tournament. But what about his pick about Stanford?
I like them just because I think they're the best team in the Pac-12. We have to see how it plays out. You know, how many do they lose two games? If they lose two games, they're not in.
I hope I'm not being too hung up on the Kevin Hogan situation, but I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. With McCaffrey, it may not matter. But it was a very interesting conversation.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, continuing through the night tonight. Before we get to news of the night, let's go to Alfonso in Jacksonville. He wants to comment on the Gators. What's up, my man?
Hey, Tony, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you, man. What's on your mind?
So, yeah, you had touched on the Gators before, and, yeah, in terms of the offense, you definitely are right. It's going to take a couple more years. Here's the thing that I'll never understand. Under Spurrier, they were the fun and gun, and ever since then, they have struggled offensively. I mean, I don't understand this just because, like, you know, you can get anybody in Florida as far as athletes go, playmakers on offense, and yet they have struggled with that for years. Under Muschamp, it was a disaster, and we'll see how it goes under, you know, the McElwain.
Yeah, McElwain. Well, I think a lot of the fun and gun had to do with the fact that they weren't defensive backs as speedy as the wide receivers were back in the day. Like, the defenses were still slog you through the mud SEC defenses. So Spurrier was able to come up with this fantastic. I'm oversimplifying because it's a little bit more complex than what I'm making it out to be. But I think the fun and gun really benefited from the fact that, yeah, the receivers were much faster than the defensive backs. When I remember those Florida Gator teams, I remember people like Riddell Anthony and, you know, being like wide open. Like, not just wide open, I mean wide open. Like Danny Werfel just throwing the ball up there and not a soul around him to catch the ball. So I think you benefit a little bit from defenses that were not prepared for that and had to kind of catch up to that. And I think maybe now it's a little bit different. You got more speedy backs that can hang with receivers. But you're right. There really isn't an excuse. Overall, there really isn't an excuse for Florida not to recruit good offensive talent. Good offensive talent should want to go to Florida, regardless of who's the coach.
And I like McElwain as a coach, but here's the thing. I think soon he'll be on the hot seat because I like the way they started last year, but then they fizzled out, like, seriously. And then Michigan blew them out in the bowl game. That's, like, unacceptable.
No, that is correct. They were, and they had like really bad wins too. Like they barely beat Tennessee. Like Tennessee was up 10-0, and then they won, or 9-0, and they won 10-9. Yeah, win is a win, but they were ugly at times. They should be sharper, and I agree with you. I don't know if the hot seat's hot yet. He just got there. But again, when you're talking about the years of Muschamp, and nobody wants to be the guy that follows the guy, and they're still going to live on the Urban Meyer dream there. So, hey, thanks for the call, Alfonso. Appreciate it. All right, now I'll strike up that music again because we can't do this news bit without that great music. News of the night. This is where Adam goes beyond the headlines to give you the stuff that's going on in the world that you may have missed. All right, story number one.
Story number one. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I told you about the new Nintendo coming out.
Yes, I want that.
Nintendo Mini. Well, now Sega Genesis has announced that it will come out with its own mini console.
Oh, wait a minute. I might go with this one because I had a Sega Genesis in college.
I know. Sega Genesis, to me, I think had the best game I've ever played, and that was NHL.
NHL. Can I tell a quick story about this?
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, ruin the bit here, but when I was in college, when you're in college, what's one of the first things you start getting experience in? Credit cards, right? And in the time I went to college, there was a credit card desk. And in every student room I would be in, they'd be like, hey, you want to sign up for this card? You want to sign up for this card? You look like you could use some credit. Sign up for this card. And my parents warned me against this. And they told me, don't sign up for that stuff. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. And I didn't listen to them. So anyway, I had a couple of credit cards, and I go into a gaming store one day in the mall with my roommate in college. We're just hanging out at the mall doing nothing, shopping around. All of a sudden, we see NHL, the first NHL, not the NHL 94 where the players were, we could make Gretzky's head bleed, but the first one where there was logos on the ice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that very first one they did? We thought this was the greatest thing we ever saw. I plucked down that credit card and bought a Sega Genesis system and that game on the spot with no job at all to back up this purchase. That's America for you right there. That's college, irresponsibility right there. But can I tell you something? We played that thing until it broke. I mean, we were all into that game. We played that game. We played tournaments in that game. We had buddies over for Beer Fest and played that game. It was a highlight of my college life, even though when it was all said and done, I probably paid $7,000 for that thing after interest charges. How's that for a story?
That's very interesting the way that it tied in with this.
Yes, I definitely want that. All right, so what's the retail on it, do they say?
$65, and it's also going to have a little handheld version to go with it.
Really?
And it's going to have 40 games, but the NHL game is not on it, so now that depresses me.
Ah, boo. Listen, if you do the NHL game, you got to give me the original one where Jeremy Roenick rules the game nobody's business.
He just dominates everything.
Give me Chris Chelios and Steve Larmer and Eddie Belfour and Nett and Roenick running around.
Jeez.
Wonderful.
That's too easy, basically.
Absolutely was too easy. I loved that game. My buddy was Bruins. He was the Bruins. Cam Neely and Craig Janney and all. Ugh. But that was a fun time. All right, story number two.
Story number two comes from a celebrity golf tournament where Justin Timberlake was playing.
I heard about this one.
Yeah, so a guy decided to basically slap him on the back of the neck, and he ended up being arrested and charged with assault.
Why did he slap him?
Nobody knows. Like he literally
just crazy.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It sounds like I read the article, and the article's long, and it doesn't really tell you a whole lot about what really happened afterwards. Besides, he went to prison or went to jail and bonded out for about $500. And in the video, you can hear Justin Timberlake say, "Bro, why would you do that?"
Yeah.
So
maybe that guy came to the realization, like I had to, that Justin Timberlake is a better human being than me in every way possible.
Yeah.
I heard Justin Timberlake's a pretty good golfer too.
Yeah. I was thinking about Justin Timberlake today. I was like, I remember him because NSYNC was big when I was a young kid. Like I remember my sister loving NSYNC, having the posters and whatnot. And I remember just looking at Justin Timberlake, like, okay, this guy's going to go away in 5 years.
Yeah.
The rest of them basically have and now
right.
He is a mega star, and he's awesome. I like his songs. I like his movies. He's become an incredible celebrity / entrepreneur / actor, everything.
This dance song that he's got this summer is catchy. My daughter loves it. It gets played in our car all the time. It's catchy. But you know what's funny? You know why The Simpsons is the greatest TV show on the planet? Because it's been around so long, it's a pop culture encyclopedia.
Yeah.
It's a pop culture time vault. And they had an episode where NSYNC was on the show. And all Justin Timberlake kept saying in that whole episode was, "Word." That's all. That's basically his role, was role at NSYNC. And you could watch that today and go, boy, they picked Justin Timberlake so wrong. He was the one that ended up being the star. He was the one that emerged bigger than any one of them. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I like Justin Timberlake. He's funny on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he is. He's just
hilarious.
Him and Jimmy Fallon just came out with a video where they sing. And it's perfect. It's just everything he does seems to work perfectly.
Everything he does seems to work. And one, as one writer pointed out, he sold the Britney Spears stock, which was great.
Yes.
He got rid of that at the right time.
And
hit
on Jessica Biel.
Hit on Jessica Biel. He's been
has kids with her
fantastic.
Now, and she's just gorgeous.
All right, 800-777-2907. Coming up, Major League Baseball news of the night. Did the guy that slapped Justin Timberlake yell "redneck" as he did it?
I don't know.
Did he?
I did not see that.
Tell me, is that a new thing? Is that a new thing I'm missing?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that, but that'd
be great.
Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Redneck.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, that catchy little RBI music means we're going around the league in Major League Baseball to tell you what went on Tuesday night. By the way, before we do that, are you watching any of the conventions at all?
Not really. I saw a little bit of the Republican one. I have not seen any of the Democratic.
I saw about 5 minutes of Bill Clinton's speech tonight, about 5 minutes. I am not here to make a political opinion, and I don't really want yours. I just wanted to make this observation. That dude still loves the limelight, man. That dude still loves the stage. The way he was like, you could tell when a guy is giving a speech, that when they're really getting into it, they're feeding off the crowd. And Clinton, there are guys who just go over the top when they're doing the speech. Like, they can feel the energy, and they're like, and we're going to take it to the White House. But Bill doesn't do that. Like, Bill just feels the crowd and goes, yeah, I could pretty much get away with anything up here. He's still, even as old as he looks, man, he's still, he can't wait to get back into that building. I bet he can't wait. I hope his wife wins by a landslide. He'll run back into that building. He can't wait. All right, so Major League Baseball. We'll get to the games that mattered on Tuesday. The St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Mets played a doubleheader. How about that? After their game was rained out on Monday. The Cardinals took game one by a score of 3-2. Jed Jerkel hit his 14th home run of the year. And Rene Rivera homered for the Mets. And then the Mets came back and took game two by a score of 3-1. Jerkel again homered. Now has 14 on the season. The Colorado Rockies beat the Baltimore Orioles 6-3. As Adam Jones hit his 18th home run of the year for the Orioles, but Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado, Carlos Gonzalez, all driving in runs for the Rockies. Chad Bettis got the win, now 9-6. The Seattle Mariners defeated Pittsburgh by a score of 7-4. A couple of home runs for the Mariners, and the Pirates getting a home run from Polanco, his 13th of the season. Seager's got his 20th for the Mariners. I got to at least bring up a guy that hits his 20th home run of the year. Kyle Seager hitting number 20. The Toronto Blue Jays beat the San Diego Padres 7-6 in 12 innings. Josh Donaldson hitting his 25th home run of the year, and Justin Smoke his 12th for the Blue Jays, I should say. Matt Kemp hitting his 23rd for the San Diego Padres. The Chicago White Sox shut out the Cubs 3-0 as Adam Eaton hit his 7th home run of the year. James Shields goes to 5-2. Cubs were held to 4 hits. Kyle Hendricks took the loss. Robertson with the save is 24th of the season. That's a very nice 2-game series for the White Sox. Now, do they go to Wrigley Field for 2 more?
Yes, now they'll go next
okay,
2
so
nights.
This is a 4. This is technically a 4-game series.
Correct.
But they play 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2.
Why doesn't baseball just call it that? Why is it that they'll say took 2 out of 2? Why don't they just say, yeah, they took 2, but they're going to play 2 in Wrigley, so let's call it a 4-game series.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea.
Seems more fun that way. The Detroit Tigers beat the Boston Red Sox 9-8 at Fenway Park. David Ortiz is 25th home run of the year. Good God, David Ortiz. I love you, man. I'm going to miss this guy when he's gone. Jackie Bradley Jr. hit his 16th for the Red Sox. Cabrera hit his 20th for the Tigers. The Miami Marlins shut out Philadelphia 5-0. Tom Kohler with the win now goes to 8-8. Marlins picked up win number 54 on the season. They're not going away. I don't think they're going away. I don't think there's going to be a September swoon for the Miami Marlins. I think they're going to be in it till the end. The Cleveland Indians beat the Washington Nationals 7-6. Papelbon took the loss. I'm assuming that the Indians won this one in late off Jonathan Papelbon.
Yes.
Very good. Very good, Pap. 2-4 on the season. Rendon a home run, his 12th of the season. Ramos a home run, his 12th. Both of those for Washington. The Oakland A's over the Texas Rangers 6-3. Joey Gallo has the unenviable task of filling in for Prince Fielder while he is out for the season. But he did it his first home run of the year. Now, I know you are more into prospects than I am. This kid was pretty highly graded, wasn't? Weren't they waiting on bringing him up?
Yeah, he's been
they
up.
They did a couple of times?
Yeah, he's been up a few times. He's, I want to say, MLB.com's, you know, top 10 prospect, at least in all of baseball. He has huge power. His home run tonight, I think, almost went 500 feet.
Oh, my God. That's great. Even this day and age, that's still fantastic. Mitch Moreland hit his 14th of the year for the Rangers. Oakland hit 3 home runs. Coco Crisp is 8th. And Josh Reddick is 7th. The Milwaukee Brewers beat Arizona 9-4. The Atlanta Braves beat the Minnesota Twins 2-0. Double
I was going to say a lot of bad there.
I'm sorry. Those are bad baseball teams, and I don't want to waste a breath telling you exactly how what happened between the Braves and the Twins. If again, I'm using the same joke, so forgive me. If the Braves beat the Twins 2-0, but nobody was around to see it, does it count in the standings? I mean, sorry. These teams combined, they're averaging 35 wins apiece, okay? 35. I just told you about the Marlins, who have 54. So, yeah, this isn't exactly, this is buy one, get a whole section for free, okay? This is bad baseball. The New York Yankees doubled up Houston. This is a problem for the Yankees. The Yankees keep winning. They're going to think they're still in this thing. They double up the Houston Astros 6-3. Evan Gattis did homer for Houston, and Marwin Gonzalez had 2 for the Astros. Jacoby Ellsbury had 3 hits for the Yankees in the win. The LA Angels destroyed Kansas City 13-0. Destroyed Kansas City. And by the way, guess who's not going to make the playoffs unless they get their act together? That's right, the Kansas City Royals. Be careful, KC. Stop pretending like, oh, anytime now you'll just flip that switch. If you're not careful, the postseason's coming and you ain't going to be around to see it. By the way, they were out hit, get this, 22-3. 22-3. That's how bad the Angels beat up on the Royals tonight.
Wow.
Mike Trout drove in 3 for the Angels, and that's it. And it just was just everybody got involved in this for the Angels.
We're talking about a really bad Angels team.
Oh, I know, right? Sellers, trade Mike Trout, build something back up again. Oh, absolutely. The Angels scored 7 runs in the 9th inning in this one. The L.A. Dodgers beat Tampa Bay 3-2. Rays really stink, but the Dodgers get a good victory there. And the San Francisco Giants defeat Cincinnati 9-7. Jay Bruce hit his 24th home run of the year. Adam Duvall hit 2. He now is 25. It's Adam Duvall, kid. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know he existed until the season started, okay? He now has 25 home runs of the year, and I feel like I've been bringing up his name all the time. Joey Votto is 18th, and Kane had his first home run of the year. Matt Kane had his first home run of the year for the Giants. He got the win, now 2-6. How do the Reds lose a game in which they get home run power like that? That's amazing.
They're the Reds, just bad.
Yeah, they're the Reds. And by the way, Cody Reed, now 0-5 with an ERA of over 7 for Cincinnati. So there you go. There you have it. The night in Major League Baseball. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the season, or at least the stretch run of the season. 2 more months. You know, it's amazing. I know I've made this observation before, but you know how we go through the baseball season at the beginning of the year, and there'll be ebbs and flows, and you're like, oh, yeah, but it's April, right? Yeah, it's early, right? You can't really tell. Yeah, they lost 7 of 8. Is something wrong? I don't know. It's just April. Yeah, they'll get the right. We're now at the point where you can't say that anymore. Like, we're past the halfway mark. We're done with July in a couple of days. We're heading into August and September, and now teams better get their act together. And again, I'm looking at you, Kansas City. That spunky Royals team that was like, oh, this feel-good baseball team, they play baseball the right way. Yeah, we'll play baseball the right way and get in the playoffs. All right? Because it's not happening right now. And I mentioned earlier that the thing about the Yankees, they've now beat, you know, they're going for the sweep over the Astros at Minute Maid Park coming up. The thing about this is that I don't want the Yankees to get a sense of hope. I want the Yankees to get a sense of, yeah, urgency. We got to start rebuilding. There's got to be more trades on the table. We got to start building up again. The moment they start winning, they're going to start thinking about, yeah, maybe we're still alive. No, you're not still alive. You still have problems. These next couple of games don't mean anything. Just chill out for a little bit. Enjoy the fact that you can take a little bit of a break and regroup.
I don't think they can trade Andrew Miller now just because of the fact of what they got for Chapman. I don't know that any team will give up what they really deserve for Miller or what he's worth for a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's just like they priced themselves out of the Miller market by getting what they got from the Cubs, which is a good thing. I mean, you still, because they traded a 2-month rental that they can turn around and re-sign, and then if they want to trade Miller in the offseason, you still get a huge price for him.
Yeah, that's true. All right, coming up, 800-777-2907. We'll get the final thoughts on the Detroit Lions as we wrap up our NFL preview for this night. Look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens and the Atlanta Falcons to close out this week. And we'll continue to talk about some other things that go on in the NFL next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, glad you'll be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we close out this hour. Tomorrow, it'll be the Baltimore Ravens on the clock. We'll also close out this week with the Atlanta Falcons. And then next week, go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. Check us out. See who we're previewing. And don't forget, you can catch this show and a lot of our other shows on the network at podcastarena.com. So if you miss it, miss any previews, those are important, you can check us out there. 800-777-2907. Last night, we had a little bit of a technical difficulties on the show, so we didn't give our predictions. Adam and I, our predictions for the New York Jets, the team that we did yesterday. And I think it all depends on whether Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back or not. But I'm going to assume that he will, because I'm going to assume that he's not going to want to miss the checks. He might on principle, because he might have he might say on principle, I think I'm going to sit out and be worth this amount of money. But, I'm going to say the Jets are going to be the exact same thing they were last year. I think they're going to be 10-6. That's my prediction.
My prediction. See, I don't like the Jets that much. I don't know what it is about that team. I think they're going to go backwards. I even put them when we did our top five last week.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Teams. I have them at 6-10.
Ooh, that wow, 6-10.
Yeah. So I'm just not high on the Jets at all, and it could change a little bit. I think they could win 7 games, maybe even get to 8-8 if Ryan Fitzpatrick comes, because that is a big upgrade. So I think if he's there, I'd lean more towards the 7-9, 8-8 range. But right now, without him, I say 6-10.
It's interesting with Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I think I was trying to make a little bit of this point yesterday, which is I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick has crossed over into, well, he'll be consistently good. Like, you can trust him that he'll be good. There are quarterbacks that have done that. Like, look, when I watch a Steelers game, I don't worry about Ben Roethlisberger. He may not have a good game, but that's different than the expectation of, I never know where this guy's going. I expect Ben Roethlisberger to have a good game. I expect Eli Manning to have a good game. I expect Phillip Rivers to have a good game. When they don't, well, I'm like, okay. With Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't expect him to have a good game. I just watch him and go, I don't know what to expect. He hasn't crossed over that for me. I can see a Ryan Fitzpatrick game where he throws for 187 yards with no touchdowns and an interception on, 13 of 30 completion percentage. That's what I could see. Not so much with just, hey, when Ryan Fitzpatrick is under center, everything's going to be all right. I don't know if anything's going to be all right. And that's kind of the difference. So to me, that's why I'm going 10-6 anyway. But I can see where you're going with that. That could be a big drop off for them. As for the Lions, I don't think they're a 7-9 team like they were last year. I don't think you go 6-2 to close out the second half of the season. I think they're a 5-11 team. I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to find their identity. There's going to be things that are going to work for them, and there's a lot of things that aren't going to work for them. But I'll give them a little bit more. I'll give them 6-10. That's where I see the Lions. But now, unfortunately, I don't see them duplicating, the strong run. I appreciate the fact that people want to connect Matt Stafford and Jim Bob Cooter to this really wonderful relationship, and that does count for something. I don't know. I just don't know with them, and I think 6-10 is where I have with the Lions.
I am going 5-11.
Where I started. Then yeah. I gave them more of a benefit of the doubt than I probably should have.
So, yeah, I think without Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin, Eric Ebron, I mean, that's a decent little trio, but the offensive line is up in the air, in my opinion. You're depending on a lot of young guys. The division, the Packers and Vikings are going to be really good. I think, personally, my Bears take a step forward, and they're better than
too.
The Lions. So
yeah.
I just think in the division, They play a tougher schedule. I don't want to say really tough, but a tougher schedule. I think 5-11 max.
Yeah, it's too bad too. I like Matt Stafford. I hope he gets that career in gear. But I don't know, this league's tough. If a guy like Matt Stafford with his skills can't win a playoff game, I mean that's amazing to me. I mean, that's amazing to me. But you know what? It goes to show you that no matter what you bring to the table, there's some more factors that are always in play. And I think it makes me realize how good the really, really good quarterbacks in this league are. When I say, you know, Matt Stafford made some mistakes, don't get me wrong, he's not a perfect quarterback or anything, but he's got tools and he's got some, you know, football smarts. I look when I see him and I say, man, This is 8-8, 9-7, 7-9 kind of quarterback, and that's going into year 8. I need something more from him. Again, there are quarterbacks that I said earlier with Ryan Fitzpatrick that you trust to be good. Matt Stafford, I do trust to be good. He should be good when he plays, and the team should be better. The team should respond. So I don't know. It's like I always put him and Matt Ryan in the same basket. Does that make sense? Two quarterbacks, number one picks, about the same time, within a year or so of each other, and every year I feel like it's the same story. We'll talk about the Falcons later on in this week, but I feel like it's the same kind of story. Sometimes it's their fault. Sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes they're the beneficiary of good coaching and win games and get people excited, and then sometimes bad coaching kicks in, bad plays on the opposite side of the ball just make a mess of their outing. So, I don't know. Matt Stafford, I think you're right about 5-11, but I'll go 6-10. I'm going to stick with that. I'll give him a little bit more. All right, 800-777-2907. As I mentioned earlier, go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. We're going to have the schedule of all of our teams that we do every week. We do them 5 at a time, so we're going to post them up at the beginning of every single week. And like the page and let us know what you think about what we're doing and your comments. I know some of you can't, you hear the replay, so you don't get a chance to hear us and communicate, but that's where you can definitely hit us up with a message or whatnot. All right, 800-777-2907. Coming up, we'll talk about more on the Lions. Peyton Manning has been cleared of HGH, but why are people comparing the way he was cooperative to the way Brady wasn't? I'll have that breakdown for you. And Kevin Powell in Chicago, all coming up next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.